What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new edition of Tariq Radio. My name is Tariq Nasheed, all in your mouth. And I'm ready to chop up some great game on today's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. Give me a call. Let me know what's happening, what's on your mind. We're going to take that real commercial, quick commercial break. And I'll be right back. So y'all don't move a muscle. Let everybody know that we're live right here on Tariq Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Yo, if you are a parent or if you are a teacher or if you're somebody who just values education, then you have to pre-order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an animated DVD series that uses hip-hop to teach kids lessons in math, language arts, drug prevention, and much, much more. You need to check it out right now at giftedandlit.com. Pre-order right now at giftedandlit.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Let me get my Mac and music going on, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all back in the house. I hope you guys have your 1804 movie DVD. Go to 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. That's where you can get the 1804 DVD, The Hidden History of Haiti. It's still killing the game right now. Still hot on Amazon. So you know what's funny about that? Some of the reviews are funny. Some of the white supremacists are very butthurt over the film. Oh, I'm getting shit like, oh, it's... And I talked about it before. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but they're just so mad. Calling it a race-baiting film, racially biased, all that stupid shit. And white supremacist tears are just so delicious. So go get the film. 1804movie.com. Get your DVD today. And also go get all the Hidden Colors DVDs. Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, ladies and gentlemen. And also go to TariqElite.com. That's where you can get some of that fly, fresh gear out there to get yourself real fly and crisp. Now, for those who don't know, out here in Southern California, I'm in Los Angeles, there are a lot of wildfires all over the place. And I did a little Instagram video for, it was a few minutes, or not even a minute, it was about a minute video that I shot. I had to evacuate my home because the fire was literally right behind my house. So we're fine. A lot of people have been asking how me and the family are doing. We're back in the house. We're fine. The house wasn't damaged, and I thank everybody who were well wishers and
I appreciate you. Now, shit. Now, I almost had to get a GoFundMe. My shit burned down. Now, y'all need to help a player out to get my shit back. I was about to do a GoFundMe if my shit burned down because we had to evaluate and leave everything. They were like, no, y'all don't have time to get nothing. Y'all got to leave now. It was funny because fire's all over the place, man. They're just jumping from place to place to place. And the fire was across the street from my house and I couldn't get in. So I had to go around the corner to my mom's spot. I got a spot for my mom around the corner. So I was chilling there for a minute. And then I called P. Nizzle. She said the coast was clear. Everything was clear to come through. And while I was on my way back home, she called and said, shit, we all got to leave. The police are knocking on the door telling everybody to evacuate. And I was driving to the house and I saw that there's a big fire literally right behind my house because I live right by the freeway. And the fire was on the freeway bank. So I'm telling you, like right now in my home studio, it smells like smoke in here now. That's how close it was. So we had to get all the kids and throw some shoes on them. We left food on the stove. And everybody in the gated community, they just had to evacuate everybody out. It was crazy. It was real, real crazy. But we're safe. And this fire is still going on right now. There's a fire over there by the Getty Center. There's a huge fire up in Bel Air. Somebody said that Rupert Murdoch's, one of his houses got burnt up. So, you know, this shit is getting crazy out here. But, you know, I hope everybody's safe. You know, that's a hellified way to lose your shit through a fire. But let me put on my conspiracy hat for 1 second, though. Let me get my Alex Jones on for a minute. Because, you know, I question things from all angles. And I'm just observing. But I got to put on my tinfoil hat for a minute. I got to talk about the Bilderbergs, the Illuminati, blah, 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 the Trilateral Commission. You know, I got to throw my Alex Jones tinfoil hat on. Because, you know, when I look at this stuff, I'm looking at all these wildfires, and it's real odd. You know, I don't take nothing for face value. It could be face value. It could be. You know, but you know me. I got to look at things from every angle. And these fires are just jumping around all over the place, just left, right, left. I mean, it hasn't been like this in a long time. All of these fires jumping around like this. Not all the way out in the wilderness. A lot of times when they're wildfires, it's all off in the wilderness. But these fires are very close to the main city, and that's something very unique. And the way they're evacuating people, they're evacuating large numbers of people. I know like in Bel Air, I think, in that area over there by Mulholland, they got like 200,000 people evacuated out. I mean, within hours. And over here, they evacuated people, a large number of people within minutes. And it almost has a feel of some kind of test run for something. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it is, but it just kind of has that feel. You know, it's real interesting seeing all the, you know, the fire department, and not that, just that, just the police with gas masks running up, knocking on everybody's door. It was real weird. And plus, you know, I got security cameras where I could see what's going on when I'm not home. And even after we were evacuated, there were police officers all looking in my house, and I was talking to them on the intercom like, hey, can I help you? They're like, well, you got to evacuate. I'm like, well, you guys already came to the house and told us. So I'm like, why are y'all coming back to my shit? They're like, oh, we're just making sure that, you know, everybody's gone. But just the fact that all of this stuff is happening in the close part of the main metropolitan area of the city, it just feels like some kind of test run. I'm just saying, that's just my conspiracy mind. That's just my tinfoil hat. But I question everything, and I'm looking at how fast they got people evacuated and rounded up and carted off. I mean, in minutes. And a quote-unquote natural disaster, that would be a good opportunity to have a test run for something like that, to see if you can evacuate large numbers of people in a fast amount of time. I was looking at that stuff. I was looking at that stuff. And again, a lot of natural disasters are not always so natural. A lot of shit is manufactured. You know, some of these floods and levees breaking. I mean, I don't put it past certain folks in the dominant society to create natural disasters to create some kind of social change. You understand? I'm just looking at things from different angles. I know my tinfoil hat is bumping up against the mic. The Bilderbergers, blah, blah, blah. The liberals, and then the Trilateral Commission. I know I'm sounding like Alex Jones a little bit, but it's just an observation. I'm like, okay, they got a lot of people out very fast. So what if they need to get another group of people out very fast and cart them off somewhere? And they're doing test runs to see how they can do it. You dig? But it's just interesting that these fires are just really popping up all over the place. I know it's windy and there are a lot of brush fires and all that, but this has a different little feel to it. You understand? I'm just saying. No accusations. It's just an argument. It's just an observation. It's just something to think about. Because, you know, there was something else that happened out here in California. I think up in Northern California, where there was this mysterious foam that was all in the streets. I want y'all to Google that. There's this mysterious foam that was just all over the street, and nobody could explain where the foam was from. It was all over the place. And I think they said the fire department made some kind of mistake and it was some kind of fire retardant foam. But I'm not sure what the explanation was, but this foam was everywhere. So these little accidents and all this stuff, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. Speaking of fire, there was a story. I posted this on Instagram. Not Instagram. I posted this on Twitter. This little white Hispanic cat. I think this was down in Florida. Let me look and see what city it's in. Okay. This dude, the headlines, and he looks like he's some kind of white Hispanic dude, but he started some fires, and it says teen arsonist who torched his girlfriend's house tried to blame a random black guy for his crime. You little dirty bastard. Now I want y'all to hold on to that, because I'm going to talk about this in the show. These little immigrants and his name is Bernardo Rosa Madrigal, and he looks like a little white Hispanic. He burned up his girl. This is in Polk City, Florida. And you know how the white supremacy is rampant out there. But one of our Hispanic immigrant brothers, and I'm assuming he might be an immigrant, I don't know. People we're always caping for, sitting up here practicing white supremacy. They know that there's a lot of anti-black resentment, and it's very easy to accuse a black person of something, even if the black person doesn't exist. That's how much they understand how anti-black resentment is prevalent within the fiber of this society. So he tried to play on that, burn his girlfriend's house down, and use the whole blame a nigga thing. But his stupid ass, the police was looking in his phone. You know how they found this dumbass bastard? This is the story. Police quickly found out he was lying, however, after seeing his phone's Google search history that included a search for how to burn down a brick house. So this dumb bastard was Googling how to start fires on brick houses. So they caught his little stupid ass. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Also, let me get on some other news topics here. I'm hungry than a motherfucker. I didn't eat today, and I started the show, and my stomach is growling. I should have ate a graham cracker or something. I'm hungry than a motherfucker. But I'm going to go through the show, chopping it up with you guys and everything like that. There was a doctor up in Sacramento, in the Northern California area, Dr. Bennett Umalu. Now, this brother... black doctor, very thorough, very well respected. He was in a movie called Concussion. So this was the doctor who really brought a lot of attention to that CTE thing that happens with athletes. I mean, the NFL, they had to change a lot of policies based on the findings of this brother, this doctor. So he's very thorough, very well respected. I mean, he's the leading dude on a lot of stuff. Real thorough brother. Up in Northern California, where he's a pathologist, he resigned because there's a suspected white supremacist sheriff there who's interfering with a lot of autopsies up there. And this suspected white supremacist sheriff, his name is Steve Moore. And what Steve Moore does, he goes in and tries to get the doctor to change a lot of rulings on death. So when these race soldiers out here killing people, and the doctor finds out that it's a homicide, and you know, you see that it's blunt force trauma, and some black person or somebody's been choked out or killed or hit in the head and murdered by a damn cop, the sheriff goes in and say, hey, don't write it as a homicide, mark it down as an accident. And the sheriff department, they keep doing this shit, and the brother was like, hey, I'm cool. And the brother blew the whistle on their ass. So I hope this brother is safe. Shall the spirit of Ogun look out for you, brother? That's a very brave thing to do, to tell on these damn race soldiers and their fuckery out here, where they're going in and trying to protect these race soldiers for killing people. And they're doing all types of shit, like cutting off people's hands and shipping their hands off. And it sounds like some organ trafficking might be happening with these fuckers up there too. But it's real funny style. And the brother's like, no, I'm not a part of this. I'm not a part of this. I'm good. I'm cool in the game. Because, see, that's what they do. See, in the Freddie Gray situation, understand, that was a homicide. And, see, it's hard to justify letting these cops off after they've committed a damn homicide. Just like with Freddie Gray, it's hard for them to justify the Freddie Gray thing. So what they do, they attack black politicians who speak out against it, but with no justification to attack them. Because Freddie Gray was murdered. He didn't commit suicide. Freddie Gray was murdered. So they can't justify it, so they just use the I'm white and I say so logic. Just like with Eric Garner. It was ruled that was a homicide with Eric Garner. The coroner ruled it was a homicide. That's why they had to pay off the families and all this stuff. So these race soldiers are trying to get the coroners to fall in line with team white supremacy. You better write down the right ruling for us, so when one of us go out here and kill these people, write that shit down as an accident. Stop that homicide talk. That's how white supremacy works. So when motherfuckers show up and their organs are missing, oh, say his liver and lungs fell out by accident. That's an accident that this motherfucker ain't got no organs. Write down an accident. Write down he lost his heart and his spleen and his pineal gland or whatever they are harvesting from folks. You dig? But I digress. Somebody sent me this link today, and I was talking about immigrants earlier. Right now, there's some immigrant marches because, you know, Donald Trump and his whole thing, they done that whole immigrant ban and all this stuff. And a lot of quote-unquote immigrants are going to feel the crunch. They're coming down on immigrant groups right now. And we got a lot of black folks. I saw something where you got black people out here marching with Asian American immigrants, caping for them. And I ain't shitting on no group, but hold your own nuts. And black folks, you're going to have to be more politically savvy, and we got to stop being politically naive. Don't have your ass out here caping for these groups. Let them handle their own business. I cannot stress this enough. Let these people handle their own business. Your dumb ass out here thinking that you're going to get some kind of brownie points with these people. You're not. Some of these people were the same folks out here marching for Peter Liang after he killed Akai Gurley. These people were out here marching to save one of their own for killing one of us. And y'all asses are still out there skinning and grinning, holding up signs. We in this together, y'all. Now they come around getting us when it's time to help them. I played video after video of black folks, black women in particular, getting the shit kicked out of them by these male Asian beauty supply store owners and nail shop owners. They're just beating the shit out of sisters. You know how many of these wannabe white supremacist hoppers and these Asians are down with the alt-right? These Asians are all clicked in with the alt-right like it's nothing. And the white supremacists, they turn on them when they least expect it. And once they get turned on, then they come running to us. Like, hey, you're our brother. We're in this together. No, 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 no. We're not in this together. Hold your own nuts. Black folks, be more politically astute. Stop being so fucking naive. Take your cape off, dumb niggas. Let these people hold their damn nuts. That's horrible what's happening with the immigration. That's bad. It's not our problem. It is not our problem. We got too many damn coons and bedwinches out here trying to be accepted. That's what this is about. You think if you buck dance and you go out here caping that these other groups are going to accept you? Fuck all that. We need to get off that coon shit where we're trying to get accepted by these other groups. My cape is in the cleaners. I'm not caping for other groups. Damn that. That's unfortunate. I'm not advocating anything happen to you, but it's not my problem. I treat other groups like they treat us collectively. Now, I have friends from other groups on a personal, individual level. I'm cool with a lot of them. But when it comes to the group, I'm team melanoid empowerment. When it comes to the group, just like your team, whatever your group is, we're the only ones who don't play as a team like that. We think we're going to get those individual coon butter biscuits if we tap dance hard enough and say, fuck the rest of the Negroes. And that never works out for us. That brings me to something else. Our brother, Fred Hampton, it was the anniversary of his murder the other day. He was murdered in 1969 by the race soldiers and the FBI, their COINTELPRO program. They were targeting Black Panther members. And Fred Hampton was a real thorough brother. He was a very young brother. Very, man, had a mouthpiece like a laser beam. This brother was the business, man. Real thorough brother. Powerful young brother. And that was one of the greatest threats, having a young Black man. And he got started when he was a teen, so he was a teenager, man. This was a teen spitting hot fire. And that was a threat because that would energize other Black teens and other Black youth. See, he would resonate with other Black youth, so that was a problem. You didn't want to energize the Black youth. This is why they're, even today, the Black youths are targeted. You know, they throw the dregs of the dominant society on us to influence us. This is why whenever we see people, other young white supremacists do stuff, we kind of emulate them. If they're into certain drugs, then we get into the certain damn drugs that they do. So we are influenced by a lot of shit that a lot of young folks from the dominant society get into. We got to cut that off. But this brother, Fred Hampton, very thorough. It was the anniversary of his death. And we have to understand part of what got this brother killed. And you know, you always put the blame on the white supremacists. First of all, we always have to look at the white supremacists and place the blame on them. They orchestrated everything. But we also have to acknowledge the coons among us, and it was a coon who helped set him up. We're not gonna let the coons off the hook. Now we're not gonna let the coons off the hook. And this coon in particular was a coon named William O'Neill, who was an informant who set up our brother Fred Hampton. And there's an interview. And by the way, William O'Neill died in 1990. He was killed. They said he committed suicide by running in front of a car. He jumped in front of a car, a truck, and got ran over. But after William O'Neill snitched and gave a floor plan layout of Fred Hampton, he went into witness protection. They put him in witness protection, so he lived like a fucking rat for the remainder of his life. And he did an interview in 1984, and I just want y'all to, this is this is a coon in his own words, because this is rare, very rare, where coons, you know, fess up to a lot of the shit that they do. You know, you had coons like Dothard Perry. He was an infamous FBI informant. But this is the coon, William O'Neill, who set up Fred Hampton. And just listen to the coon logic.
In my thinking, they were necessary. It was a shock treatment for white America to see black men running around with guns, just like black men had saw white men running around with guns. Yeah, that was a shock treatment. It was good in that extent, but it got a lot of black people hurt. My recruitment by the FBI was very efficient, very simple, really. I'd stole a car and went joyriding over the state limit, and they had a potential case against me, and I was looking for an opportunity to work it off. And a couple of months later, that opportunity came when FBI agent Roy Mitchell asked me to go down to the local office of the Black Panther Party and try to gain membership. We tried to.
You see that? See, this is how they get a lot of coons. See, this is why I need to do that documentary on coons, so we can understand the different types of coons. Because all of them have the same agenda. But, you know, you got like the Sheriff Clark types. You got the Crispy types. You got different types. You got these type of coons who got paperwork that they're trying to get up out of. They got some fucked up paperwork. They got some kind of case. So they got a coon off to get their case off the books. They're not trying to do that little time. They don't want to man up and do the fucking time that they committed a crime for. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You commit a crime, you go ahead and do that little bullshit-ass time. You out here fucking everybody else's shit up because you stole a car. Now you up here cutting a deal. That coonery was already in you. You dig? But a motherfucker got killed because this stupid-ass coon nigga stole a car, and now people done got assassinated in their sleep over this damn coon. But you got to watch out for these niggas with that shady paperwork, too. You watch out for a lot of these niggas who are out here doing questionable shit, and they got real shady cases. You know, I've talked about people who got them shady ass cases in these Fed charges. I've talked about that and exposed some of that before. I ain't about to go into it, but y'all know who I'm talking about.
To develop negative information to discredit him, just like we did everybody else. We meaning the FBI. I tried to come up with.
Listen to this nigga. He's talking about we meaning the FBI. He was still talking coon talk as if he was one of them. This nigga was never in the FBI. Understand that. Listen to coon. This is slave coon talk right here. This is why I want y'all to listen how coons think. He was never in the FBI. He's just a fucking informant for the FBI. But he's a, well, we, the FBI, we being the FBI. He thought he was an honorary white supremacist.
Try to gain membership. We tried to develop negative information to discredit him, just like we did everybody else. We meaning the FBI. I tried to come up with signs of him doing drugs or something, and never could. He was clean. He was.
And see that? I want y'all to just listen to that. Fred Hampton was clean. Understand this. They tried to find negative things on Fred Hampton. They tried to find dirt on him. This was a straight up and down, upstanding brother. The coon snitch himself said Fred Hampton was too clean, so they couldn't sully the brother's image. They couldn't sully his image, so they just had to kill him. This clean, upstanding brother wasn't doing no drugs, wasn't doing nothing illegal. They went and assassinated this man in his fucking sleep. And this coon is sitting up here doing interviews about it.
He was dedicated. I've had private conversations with him. We got along pretty well.
2 weeks later, a gun battle on Chicago's south side further escalated.
All right, but that's enough of this coon I can take. I despise coons. And also, this coon ass nigga got $300 for getting Fred Hampton assassinated. William O'Neill, the FBI, gave this coon ass dirtbag $300. This is why I don't play games with coons. Coons are very dangerous. You know, I make fun of them and I mock them and all that, but coons at the end of the day are very goddamn dangerous. And all you coons out there, the FBI, they just pretty much abandoned dude, I think. You know, he was living in witness protection and all that. That's like living in a prison. You got to change your identity. That's like a you're living in a prison. And some people said the death is questionable. But the thing is, with this dirty coon, a lot of people say that it was the guilt that ate him up and made him want to commit suicide. Probably was, because the thing is, he knew he was a coon and a rat. And that's how he lived. He lived and died like a coon, like a raccoon. And he died like a raccoon. He lived like a rat and he died like a rat. Ran over in the fucking street. Like a rodent. Like a rat, like a dead raccoon. That's how you live. And nigga, if your spirit is listening, I hope your soul is burning in hell, nigga. I hope, William O'Neill, your soul is burning in hell. Because Bobby Hemmett said the ancestors, they don't play with that coon shit, with coons or set niggas up. They don't, the ancestors don't play around like that. They're hell on a coon, because you should know better. A white supremacist, you know, that's just how they are. And, you know, they get their karma in a large way. But coons, you know better. But that's how this nigga lived. And all you coons, that's how you live. You live like a rat. You live like rodents. You live like raccoons. And you end up dying like one. Dead on the side of a road, ran over by a truck, and insignificant. And nobody gives a fuck about your existence. That's what you are to life. You goddamn coons. You're a rodent. You're a little carcass. Anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to talk about, speaking of coons, there was a post I posted a few weeks ago about, and this is something we got to really watch out for. There's actual bedwench literature. Speaking of coons and coonettes, there is bedwench literature. There's a bunch of bedwenching books that's on the market. I want y'all, look, y'all, go to Amazon right now. Go to Amazon right now. I want y'all to go to Amazon right now. And in the book section, type in BWWM. That's Black Women, White Men. Do that right now while we're talking. I want y'all to see this for your damn self. BWWM. And there are a bunch of books written by sisters, quote unquote sisters. There's a bunch of books written by Negro bedwenches. With these Negro bedwinch themed books, there's a bunch of books about how Black women worshiping white men on Amazon. It's hundreds of these fucking books. It's a whole subgenre of these bedwinching books on Amazon. Let me read y'all some of the titles of these books. The Nanny. And on the cover, it's the same theme on all of these books by all these different authors. It's Black women in these sexual positions with these white men. These are some of the titles. Extra Stuffing. Okay, they got a black woman and a white man behind her. Another title is Love in the Jim Crow South. I'm not making these titles up. Hold on, it almost sounds like a parody. Another one is The Greek Billionaire's Unexpected Black Baby. The Maid's Black Baby for the Billionaire. And all of these books got like black women, white men, and mixed children. So that's another theme. A lot of the themes are about having mixed children by white dudes. I mean, it's some sick fucking bed. This is what we got running around us, man. We need to know who the fuck is around us. We think that just because somebody's black, they're on team black empowerment, and you got somebody who's sitting up here writing or reading one of these damn books. I want to know who's reading this shit for this to be such a big market. Another book, The Billionaire's Unknown Black Daughter, The Good Mistress, and got a white man and a black woman on here. The Beautiful Pregnancy. Oh, man. You got to see this to believe it. You have to see this filth to believe it. And these type of books are like little dog whistles. Or not even dog whistles. They're just fantasy books for other bedwinches out here. There's another book called The Older Billionaire's Impossible Twin. So there's a lot of themes about them having babies by white billionaires. The Billionaire's Triplets. There's a lot of, I'm telling you, these books have the same type of theme. It is one, this book is called Pregnant by a Bad Boy, written by a black female, and there's a white dude with, like, look like some kind of white supremacist tattoos on him. There's another book by Jamila Jasper called Race Traitor. Another book by a lady named Jennifer Lewis called The Prince's Secret Baby. It's all about these, the whole theme is having secret babies by these white dudes. This sounds like plantation shit. This sounds like slave plantation talk. And this is what we have running around us, family. Y'all gotta go, somebody, the best man's baby. All of these books, it's about these women having babies secretly by white males or rich white males. This is a fantasy that these women are having. You know how fucked up you gotta be? That's your fantasy? These are fantasy books. Yeah, that's the Shea Butter book collection. If your fantasy is to be a side piece, you some sick motherfuckers. If your fantasy, you fantasize about being a damn side piece. And we wonder why we can't get nothing popping as far as anything empowering going on out here. Understand, this is why I don't trip out. In the white supremacists, they know how to vet niggas like this. They know how to find Negroes like this. So if you see a trial go on and they say, okay, there was a jury and it had a couple of minority women on there, and you think, okay, this is going to be somewhat of a fair trial, you don't know if the quote-unquote minority women have read some of them damn books. You don't know if she got a bedwinch book in her collection. We don't know what goes on in the fucking minds of these people. It's some sick shit. We don't know how to vet folks, man. We got shit going on with these bedwinches running amok and not being called out like they should. They should be called out for this. And the white supremacists elevate these bedwinches and elevate this sick bullshit that they got out there like that. See, understand, in the dominant white society, I won't even go into the dominant white society. Let's just look into white supremacist culture. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. The white supremacist female, the white supremacist male, they go right on alert the minute they go off code. When the white supremacist female goes off code, or if she has been off code, they go on alert on her ass. This is why there was an article that came out in the publication Salon, and the headline was, "Alt-right women are upset that alt-right men are treating them terribly." So now the white supremacist females are complaining that the white supremacist males are shitting on them a little bit. And understand, that kind of goes hand in hand with white supremacy. In order to maintain systematic white supremacy, the name of the game is getting the white women in line. And that's been the problem lately. See, in order to maintain systematic white supremacy, you got to smack them white women around, because, see, the white women, they're the vessel to producing the next batch of potential white supremacists. This is how the white supremacist males think. So this is why, you know, they can have sex with black women all day, because, you know, whatever comes to a black woman is going to be black, or technically are considered black or half black or whatever, but non-white for the most part, generally. Now, there have been black women who've have given birth to white children before. But the white woman, you got to really make sure her vessel is regulated. So they've dangled all types of incentives and punishments for white women to keep them in check sexually. And that's what really the whole feminist movement was about. White women being able to do what they wanted to do sexually, but still try to maintain a certain level of white supremacy for themselves and get some benefits of white supremacy. So a lot of the white women who practice white supremacy, they've always leveraged their power sexually. Like, okay, look, if you want me to be on team white supremacy and not get me a little soul pole over here on the side, I need some of these benefits. I need to get some of this. I need a little bit of that. I need a little bit of power here. And the white supremacist male, they're like, oh, I don't want to give you too much power. Then you start doing what you want to do. We need to keep you in check. So there's always that little civil war thing going on. But one pretty well-known white supremacist female, Lauren Southern, she does a whole bunch of videos talking about a white ethno state. I mean, she's all clicked in with the alt lice. And, you know, has a lot of YouTube videos talking all that anti-black bullshit, that anti-Muslim stuff. You know, that's their little dog whistle coded language for non-white, that anti-Muslim talk. Well, with Lauren Southern, they found out that Lauren Southern may have had some brown boyfriends, some black or Muslim boyfriends. Somebody found some pictures of her all hugged up with some brothers. Looked like some mixed brothers or some possible Middle East dude, but they were non-white dudes, some brown dudes. And again, in the system of white supremacy, brown means nigga. So the alt-lice males, they're giving her the business right now. The alt-right males are on her ass right now. They're calling her all types of mud sharks. They're calling her all types of shit. Nigga lovers. They're calling her all types of shit. For these pictures coming out, they're calling her a race traitor and all this stuff. And understand, a lot of these white supremacist females, you know, look, they're team white supremacy, but they still have a little hankering for some of the melanin meat. And notice that these white supremacist males, they're upset with her for being a race traitor. But understand, Milo, the homosexual white supremacist, Milo has sex with black men all the time. He brags about having sex with black men, and they have no problem with that. You notice that? This is going into what I'm talking about. They have no problem with Milo having sex with black men because they like a black man who's effeminate. That's a preference. They like a black man who's in a submissive role, being dominated sexually by a white man. That's no problem at all. They don't look at Milo as a race traitor because Milo cannot produce babies. Milo cannot give birth, so they have no problem with Milo buck breaking on niggas. They used to buck break niggas on plantations. Have sex with black men. They used to do that all the time. They had no problem doing that. So Milo is not a race traitor because he cannot reproduce the next offspring of potential white supremacists. But these white women, when they do it, oh, you dirty race trading whore. Now the white women are race traitors. See, they got to regulate these white women, and that's the problem. They're having this civil war with the white supremacist female because a lot of these white supremacist females like to cavort with brothers. Look at Tommy Lauren, and she done said some real slick shit about Colin Kaepernick calling him a cop hater, and she was talking shit about Beyonce in a tweet she made earlier. But, you know, Tommy Lauren, she loves cavorting around Negroes, albeit many of them are coons and suspected coons. All y'all niggas hanging around Tommy Lauren, there's a little coon spirit on you. You all know who you are. Any of y'all niggas hanging around Tommy Lauren, we should suspect that there's a little coonery in your life. This is why we got to call these niggas out. If y'all cavorting with these white supremacists, you got to be called out. And they're using their white woman magic on you niggas, you still cooning. These women say all types of vile shit about black society and you sitting up ca-caing and kikiing with them. You should be called out, nigga. And the thing is, with these white supremacist females, there's a civil war going on. Because the alt-lice, they cannot trust the white supremacist female like they used to. Because these, even the hardcore white supremacist ones, they're finding out that they're having a little soul pole in their life. And this is why so many of the white supremacist males and the alt-lice and the Klan and the White House, many of them are going for the Asian women. This is the very reason why they are abandoning a lot of white females and going for Asian women. Because they need women to be in line and the closest thing to a white woman in order to carry out the vessel of giving birth to other white children or almost white children are Asian women. That's the next best thing. So because the birth rates of the white supremacists are down and a lot of the white women are not giving birth like they should. A lot of them cannot give birth like they should. So the closest thing is to have HAPA children, to have a bunch of Keanu Reeves. A lot of folks don't know Keanu Reeves is white and Asian, but he just looks like a regular white guy. And that's good enough. If that's what they need to do, so be it. But this is why they have to go to the Asians. This is why almost all the people or most of the people in the alt-right have Asian significant others. This is why you had little dirtbag wannabe white supremacist Asians like Tila Tequila at the alt-right meeting doing the Nazi signals. This is why when you type in the words Nazi chic, you see a bunch of Asians dressed in Nazi outfits. Because the white supremacist male, they cannot depend on the European woman to carry out the next generation of potential white supremacists. Do you know up in places like Sweden, the women up there, they are doing uterus transplants in order for the women up there to have babies. Google what I'm saying. They're doing uterus transplants. They're transplanting the uterus from other women and putting them in the white women up there in Sweden so that they can have babies. And they just did it over here. There was a woman over here that they did it with. They had a uterus transplant for a woman over here to have babies. Now, my thing is, where in the fuck are they getting the uteruses from? That's what I want to know. Where are they getting these uteruses donated from? And I hope I'm saying uteruses right. If it's plural, uteruses or uterus, I don't know if it's like sheep or deer. You say it singularly. I don't know. I've never had to use the word uteruses before. So I hope I'm saying it right and hope I'm not fucking up the English language. But where are they getting the uterus from? You dig? Because understand, this whole Libya slave thing that's going on, that whole slave thing in Libya, there was a Nigerian brother who came out, a politician said, hey, this shit is really about organ trafficking. They're getting people's organs. Google that too, that whole slave trade that's going on in Libya. A lot of folks are saying, and these are high-ranking politicians over there, saying this is about organ trafficking. I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on again, but I got to put it on a little bit. You dig? But this, a lot of the white women, they're getting uterus transplants. They got to get, you know, they got to do all types of stuff to get these babies because, again, the shit is dwindling for them. And the white supremacist male, they're on alert. They're like, look, these white supremacists, the white women, they're not giving birth like they should. The birth rate is down. They ain't acting right. They got a little black dick on the side. Is she going to go out and get some more black dick? So we got to do what we got to do. We got to go over here to Asia. We got to go to Thailand. We got to go over here. We got to do what we have to do if the white supremacist female ain't going to get in line. So this is why the alt-lice women are being mistreated. And I shed no tear. I mean, alt-lice tears are delicious. I don't feel no bit of pity. I feel no bit of pity being a part of a destructive non-just movement like that. I mean, karma happens. You get what you give. But again, they all go for those Eurasian, Eastern European, and most of those Eastern Europeans are technically Eurasian when you look at him, just like Trump's chick. All of that Eastern Europe goes into Western Asia. And this is why all these groups, they all got to hold their own nuts. Y'all got to hold your own goddamn nuts, essentially. And we got to stop caping for all of these groups, all of these so-called immigrants, because, again, these so-called immigrant groups, they all align themselves with these anti-black movements. Do you know how many people with Hispanic last names are part of the alt-right? How many of these Asians who cape up for the alt-right? There's this one particular Asian troll. He's Malaysian. His name is Ian Miles Cheong. He's a wannabe white supremacist. He trolls me all the time. He writes for Tucker Carlson's daily, what's it, the Daily Caller. He writes for that white supremacist propaganda rag. He's the big white supremacist wannabe, and he's always spewing anti-black bullshit. Little Malaysian dude. So people, you got to hold your own fucking nuts. Don't come around black folks now after the people whose ass you've been kissing. You've been kissing all these people's asses, and they done turned on you. Then you want to come to us? No, thank you. No, thank you. Hold those own nuts and hold them tight. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I hope you guys are going to 1804 Movie right now, 1804movie.com right now to get your DVD, 1804movie.com, the hottest documentary in the game right now, 1804 Movie. And I hope you got Hidden Colors at HiddenColorsFilm.com. I got some music stuff coming. We got a music project we're going to launch in January. We're going to be doing a video. We're doing some old school 80s funk on y'all ass, man. I can't wait for our new shit to pop off. It's coming in January. Just some old school 80s funk, unapologetic funk shit. Some international funk. We taking this shit funk, R&B. We going back, and we're going to do a video. All my L.A. people, I want to have y'all in the damn video. I'm trying to see where we're going to shoot it out here, like at World on Wheels, somewhere where we can get that 80s vibe. All my L.A. people, y'all holla at me. Anyway, y'all, that's been it, man. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite, ladies and gentlemen. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed, and go get your damn 1804 DVD, or you can stream it at 1804movie.com. I'm a holla.